The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, this morning I want to talk to you about seeing the unseen. And of course, I'm taking this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. So we need to get a vision to look beyond this temporary world that we're in, to see the eternal ramifications of what's taking place, not only in our world, but in our lives, so that we can see beyond these temporary situations. You know, this situation with Susie, it's so heart-rending for most of us. You know, some of you may not know her as well as I do, but I'm sure you have compassion for her and for her family, what they're going through. And Bob and Kathy, what they've had to go through with Kathy's treatment and being separated from the body. Soon they'll be back. Praise God. We're looking forward to that. And we just have an incredible report with that, you know. Bud and Deb, who have been separated from us and unable to attend, but they continue to watch us streaming. They're a part of this congregation. All these people, some people are unable to be here because of COVID, you know, they're still having, because of their compromised immune systems, they're not able to come and be a part of this congregation. But they're still part of us. They watch us, and they are part of this congregation. Continue to pray for those people who are unable to come. They need, I know they're missing fellowship. We are creatures that need companionship. That's who we are. That's the way God created us. And to be separated from other people is very harmful. I believe it's very painful. I've talked to some local physicians that have told me that they believe that that's the worst part of all this, that people being separated from one another. It's very harmful. But of course, you know, we're doing what we feel is necessary to protect everyone, particularly those in our society who are most vulnerable. So we all need to do our part, but let's do our part to get back together as quickly as possible, to be able to have some of the things like we were talking about, having the movie, having picnics. We've always had lots of those kind of things. So as we look at what's going on in our world, we've got to be able to look past that and look at what God is doing. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and sometimes I feel like we're walking blindly. That's why we need the supernatural ability to see beyond what's happening. Have you ever been in like a team meeting, or maybe when you were a kid, you played the game where you blindfolded someone and someone else had to guide them through obstacles? Have you ever, anybody ever done that? I've done that several times. And of course, we have to learn to trust other people. That's what that's all about. But it can be a bit scary because you got to put your trust in someone else. And sometimes, like in a group meeting like that, you're not so sure that you can trust that person. And if they're a bit ornery, maybe you can't trust them. You know, I've experienced that too. But you know, there's a lot of signs out there today. We're a nation of signs. And pertaining to what we're talking about, being blind, I saw a sign the other day that really made me wonder. I think I know what they were talking about. But this sign said, "Caution, blind drivers are backing out." Now, I thought about that a little bit. Blind drive, why in the world is a person driving blind? Blind driver. Now, I think what they were saying is the people driving couldn't see properly. But sometimes we have these crazy signs. We know what we're talking about, but other people don't understand what we're talking about. And I think that has to do with our Christianity as well. We have hope for this world. We have hope for our families. We have hope for our society. We have hope that things can change. We have hope that lives can be altered. We have hope that injustice will be handled and dealt with, because we believe that our God is bigger than our society at large. We have a great God, mighty God. So we have hope. But we have, in order to have that hope, we have to look beyond what we're seeing right now. If we're going to see the unseen, we got to stop listening to all the voices that are speaking all around us. So my first point this morning is too many voices. There's just too many voices out there. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's voices. Voices in the media, voices on YouTube, voices just people you talk to. Everybody has their opinion about what's going on and what's happening. And there's just too many voices. If you're not careful, you'll get caught up in all the voices. You'll be confused because there's just too many voices speaking to us. In Mark chapter 7, verse 16, it says, "If any man has an ear to hear, let him hear." That's Jesus speaking to us. If you have ears, open those ears, spiritual ears, and hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus uses this terminology about 10 times in the Gospels. If you have ears, hear. Open your ears. Hear what I have to say. He used it, of course, to make the point that it's not our physical ears that we should be listening with, but our spiritual antennas. Ears need to be open. In the book of Revelation, Jesus tells the churches seven times in chapter 2 and 3, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." If you want to understand, I believe what Jesus is saying, you can understand if you want to understand. If you really seek after me and you have a desire to hear what my word says, you have a desire to hear what I am saying, if you desire that, you can have ears to hear. We can all have ears to hear. Ears to hear what God is saying, not necessarily what people are saying. So hearing the Spirit of God is an extremely important part of being a part of the body of Christ, discerning what needs to be done, discerning what the direction that we need to go. We need to, as a church, discern that. We need, you individually need to do that. Yourselves, be able to discern God's direction for your life. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we mentioned, Pastor Otis and Ivy have mentioned this morning, handing out their certificates to prophetic class, Insights prophetic class. The purpose of that is to teach and help people grow, use their gifts and their understanding in the Word of God. And God speaking to us. And I believe God works supernaturally in prophetic ministry. Absolutely. He uses other people to speak to you. But He does not use other people to give you direction for your life. He uses other people to confirm the direction that He has given you. So, when we start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, they're all meant to confirm what God is speaking to our hearts, to direct us. And once in a while, God will say something that, through a prophetic utterance, that we have not received as of yet. But if we pray about it, seek the Lord, He will confirm that that was a word for us. Amen? Do you? You guys go along with that, right? I just want to make sure our prophets are on board here. Hallelujah. I put them right on the spot, didn't I? So hearing the Spirit of God is extremely important, and we need to do this. But sometimes we just feel like we're blind. I was in a training once where they blindfolded a person, and then they told everybody on the team we had different teams there, and we divided up in teams. And they told everybody on the team, after they had set up obstacles for a person to walk through, everyone on the team was to shout directions to that person. Do you know how confused that person got? You realize it was impossible because they couldn't discern the different voices. Everyone was shouting different things, right, left, forward. They were hearing a lot of different voices. It was a lot of confusion. And the point was, of course, in this training was that even though we work as a team, there still has to be leaders. Somebody has to be the voice that determines the direction that you're going. And that's really important in the body of Christ as well. It's important in our families. Listen, husband and wives, they need to come together. They need to make decisions. But I believe with all my heart that the head of the household is the man. That doesn't mean that he's a tyrant and he's a dictator of any kind. It means that he takes full responsibility for the decisions that are made in the family. And if they're wrong, he's to blame, or he takes on that responsibility. That's why, you work together, husband and wife, a spouse, and you make these decisions. But there's still someone that God placed. God placed headship in the church. It's important that we have headship in the church, that I, as your pastor, get to be the head of this congregation, lead and direct and give directions. But I'm not alone. I have elders that surround me, that pray for me, that help make the decisions that we make here in this congregation. You see, it's not all about one person making all the decisions. It's about God's people pulling together to understand and to hear the voice of God. See, I hear the voice of God much clearer when I hear the voice of my brothers speaking what they believe God is saying. We don't always agree. In your family, you're not going to always agree. You're not going to agree with your spouse all the time. And sometimes I do believe that in making a decision in the family, then the husband has to make a decision. This is what has to be done. Not a very popular thing. If you live with a strong-willed woman like I do, it's not easy. But you have to make the decision. And then, if you made a mistake, whoo! You're going to answer for it. But that's okay. That's all right. That's God's way. That's the way God has established things. In the natural, we just need leadership. We need pastors, we need apostles, we need prophets, we need teachers, we need elders, deacons, we need these people to stand up and be strong for the body of Christ. We need people that we can hear their voice and trust their voice. And I'm sorry to say that many times in the church, we have leadership that cannot be trusted. Their goals and their desires are all selfish rather than godly, rather than kingdom. Now, at large, the body of Christ overall, they're good. I believe we have good, solid leaders in the body of Christ. But we also have those who take advantage of people. And we have to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to be deceived by those kinds of people who make decisions based on what's best for them rather than what's best for the kingdom of God. There are prophets that are speaking all kinds of things right now. Make sure you discern who you are going to follow and who you're going to listen to. In ancient Israel, Jeremiah, the prophet of God, warned King Zedekiah if he didn't surrender to the Babylonians, Jerusalem would burn. But all the king's prophets, all those who sat at his table, they ate his food, that were taken care of by the king. All his prophets said, don't worry about it. Babylon's not going to come. God's going to take care of us. But look, we've got the temple here. God's not going to let the temple be destroyed. And Jeremiah was the lone voice at that time speaking out. Now, there was others that would supported him and believed in what he was saying, but he was the one that was confronting the king. Jeremiah paid a heavy price for that. He was put in prison, in a dungeon. He was beaten. He paid a big price for standing for the Lord and speaking the truth. And here's what Jeremiah said to the king just before the Babylonians invaded in 586 BC. Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? If we're patient, I believe we will see, we will hear, and we will understand the true voices that are speaking for our God, for our King. But we must do our very best to discern who is speaking for God. We must discern for ourselves the voice of God. In the 1800s, there was a test, supposedly, what I read, a test for insanity. And that test was, they would stop up, they'd put a person in a room, they'd stop up the sink, they'd turn the water on, and let the water overflow. As the water overflowed, if that person was insane, they would grab the mop and try to mop up the water. If the person was sane, supposedly, they would go over and turn off the water and then mop up all the water. Crazy way to find out about insanity. However, I would liken that to our society today. It appears to me that we're insane because the water is just flowing and flowing and things are getting out of control. They're going in so many crazy directions and no one's turning off the spigot. No one's turning off the water. What's happening? We need to hear the voice of God. Our nation needs the move of God. I believe that all my heart. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know we can trust our God. He's a big, powerful God, and He works on behalf of His people. Second thing I want to talk to you about this morning is let's look beyond the natural. We have to stop looking at the natural things that are going on and start looking at the supernatural. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, of course, we all know this scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing without seeing. How do we get to that point? Well, we just believe and we know it's going to happen. Because we pray sometimes and things don't happen the way we want them to happen. Things don't turn out the way we would like for it to turn out. And yet we have to put our trust in our awesome God and know that He is still in control, even if it doesn't work our way. I'm sure that during the time of Jeremiah, there was many people in Jerusalem praying that God would move, that God would shake the nation, that God would hear their cry, that there would be a great revival. And it didn't come. Daniel and his three friends ended up in Babylon. These were righteous men who were taken from their country to another country to live for the rest of their life. They proved their holiness and their righteousness by standing for Yahweh when they were confronted by the Babylonian pagan environment. Holy, righteous men. And yet, they were removed from their situation. What did they do? They stood for God. That's what they did. They didn't whine and they didn't complain. They knew that the judgment was because of their disobedience as a nation. But they stood firm, and God showed up on their behalf. Let us stand firm. Let us look beyond what we see right now. No matter what it is, it's a physical condition, emotional, societal, government. It doesn't matter. Let's look beyond that. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, the servant of God, is telling the king of Israel about the plans of the Syrians. And how he is doing this is supernatural. He's hearing what the plans that the Syrians are making, the king of Syria is making in his chambers. And he's relaying that message to the king of Israel, and he's saying, you know, stay away from this place. This is where he's going to be. The king of Syria gets irate. He doesn't know what to do. He thinks somebody is informing Israel what's going on, and he's informed. The reality is that Elisha the prophet is telling the king what to do. Because this king has set up ambushments. King of Israel avoids him every time. So the king of Syria sends a great army, and that's what the scripture says, send a great army to get Elisha. One man sent a whole army to get one man. That just shows how much he respected the man of God. Huh? And when the army showed up, Elisha paid very little attention to it, but his servant saw the army the next morning. And he ran into Elisha and he said, Master, there is a great army outside of our camp. What are we going to do? And this is what Elisha says to him. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed. I love it. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and when he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. Glory. Open our eyes, God, so we can see that your forces are greater than the forces that are coming against us. Help us to see, help us to trust, help us to know. And when we do not see, help us to believe that they're there even when we don't see them. Help us to know that you are in control. We need to know that today. So many things going on in our individual lives and everywhere we look. We need to know that our God is in control. He hasn't lost control. I know that people would like to tell you that, but he has not lost control. And he is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? When Paul's speaking to his young disciple, Tim, he says, Tim, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit we must rest in. Power, love, and sound mind. For the world is trying to stir us up, trying to cause fear to come upon us. The enemy is attacking, trying to cause fear. He comes like a roaring lion, seeing who he's going to be able to devour. He's not going to devour us. He can't. But if he can instill fear, he has an opportunity. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, Israel declared its independence on May the 14th, 1948. And as they were declaring their independence and fulfilling scripture, I might add, the Jewish people had 35,000 fighting men. They had no air force. they had a couple tanks and just a few artillery. The Egyptian army alone that came against them, that attacked them on that day that they declared independence, had 40,000 soldiers, 135 tanks, heavy guns, and an air force of over 60 planes, including Spitfire bombers. The Jordanians had the Arab Legion, which was thousands and thousands of soldiers, and they had been trained by the British. The Israelis were outnumbered. Didn't look like they had a chance, and the world didn't give them a chance. During the war, that war, many miracles took place. There's been many miracles accounted for. But one that I read about recently, Ira Rappaport's Israeli platoon fought in the Jordanian military on Mount Zion, and they were defending Mount Zion. They got down to having 25 bullets left. Rather than surrender, they said they would use those shells to the best of their ability, take out as many of their enemy as they could. They all knew that this was the end. They all said goodbye to one another. And then they agreed that they were going to fight to their death. Suddenly, they heard a great noise. Something incredible happened. Suddenly they heard the Arabs screaming, "Abraham," and running away. They dropped their weapons and they ran away. It was a great victory for his little platoon. But they didn't know what happened. And years later, he was talking to one of the soldiers that was on the other side. And what this soldier told him was that we all saw in the sky over your platoon Abraham fighting for you. It frightened us so much, and you got to understand that the Muslims revere Abraham greatly. When they saw that, they dropped their weapons and ran away. God is still fighting for his people, whether it's Israel or his church. Amen. The last thing I want to share with you this morning, I get through this and need to move along. We got to make a move. If we believe that God is moving in the unseen world around us, then we have to make moves. We have to step forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Amen. Faith almost always requires us to move, to step forward. Let me show you from Scripture just real quick in regards to healing. Now, there's lots of other examples, but I just want to share these things with you that took place during the time that Jesus walked to face the earth and people received healing. In Matthew 5:34, he said to this woman who had the issue of blood, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." She had broken through the crowds and able to just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She had done something. And because she had acted in faith, she received her healing. Matthew 8:13, then Jesus said to the centurion who had come to him, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant who was dying was healed that same hour. Why? Because he did something. He came to Jesus. Matthew 2:11, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way." After the men who helped this man who was bedridden dropped him through the ceiling, They did something on his behalf. Sometimes it takes other people to help us. Amen. We've got to work together. They dropped him through the ceiling, and because of their efforts, Jesus said, take up your bed and go. Before that, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. He was declaring his deity at that very moment. In Matthew 2, 11 and 12, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Amen. Isn't that the truth? And then there are many other examples. I'm going to go through all of them. But there's many examples of people just moving. Always in the Old Testament, God required something of people when they walked by faith. That's what it takes. We have to move. Faith is activated by our actions. And sometimes we do all we can, and then we don't know what else to do. We just have to leave it in God's hands. Amen. That's where we are with this situation with Susie this morning. God, doctors have done what they can do. We're praying. We're seeking you. We're moving by faith. We've done our best to trust you. The rest is up to you. And we believe you are working in Jesus' name. But you know, we are all kind of like a blindfolded person. Sometimes afraid to take steps forward. Because we have a myriad of things that we could bump into. Things that could stop us. You know, when we're just not talking about health, and that's one of the issues. But what about financial loss? Sometimes we're fearful that that might happen. We could lose everything. Should I start this new business? Should I go to college? Should I invest or keep my money in a mattress? That's a bad idea. These things can be very controlling in our life. It's fear that the enemy tries to bring upon us. We have to trust our God. Yes, I believe in financial planning. I believe we're supposed to do everything we can. But there's only so much we can do. The rest we have to put in the hands of our God and trust Him. Health issues. You know, sometimes we need to come to the realization that we need to change our diet and begin to be more healthy in the way that we operate in our life. We allow some of these things to come up on us because we have such a poor diet, especially here in the United States. We eat so much sugar and things that are harmful, chemicals that are harmful to us. I'm guilty. I mean, I'm not standing up here condemning you. I'm guilty. I like my Peeps and my cherry Pepsi. Now my mango Pepsi. Yeah, they came out with mango. I like that. I have to be careful because if I'm not careful, I'll get a bottle of Pepsi, and an hour later I'll go get another bottle of Pepsi. An hour later I'll go get another bottle. I cannot do that. I have to say no. Stop that. I have to take control of it. You know, we can do some things in moderation, but we have to be careful. We're bringing some of this on ourselves. And I've been warned by my doctor, be careful, be careful. You're on the verge, pre-diabetic. Now, she said, that doesn't mean you're a diabetic, but she said, be careful. Family matters. How do we discipline our children? How do we raise our children in Babylon? Because that's where we live. The Babylonian society is all around us. How do we raise our children to be faithful to the Lord? It's a tough issue. We have to seek Him. How do we stand firm in this world? When we're in the marketplace, we're going to be confronted with all kinds of issues that will touch us in a way that we will have to make a decision. Is this a place where we make a stand, or do we overlook this? and move on to a bigger, more important battle. We're all going to be confronted with those things. And we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We can't just, well, I'm going to handle it this way. No, every situation requires a different way of handling it. And we have to hear from God. Daniel and his friends were living in Babylon. They had to choose when they took a stand. And they did. They weren't arrogant about it, flamboyant. They didn't say, everybody look at me. They just knew that it was time to take a stand. They took a stand and God showed up. Now, I can't promise you that when we take a stand that God's going to show up. There's been millions of Christians martyred for Jesus Christ because they've taken a stand for the biblical position of loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. It can happen. But I can tell you this, there is great reward for those who stand for the Lord. Absolutely. Should I marry this person? Wow, be careful with that one. Make sure you're hearing from God. I believe that we can get help. There's biblical authors or Christian authors that write books that can help us with all these issues that I just mentioned. You know, godly doctors, people who understand our culture and understand how we should operate, understand raising children in difficult times. You know, there's godly authors. And I encourage you to tap into those resources. There's a lot of them out there. I'm not going to mention any of them right now. But there's a lot of them out there. And you have the opportunity to learn and grow. But number one, make sure they all line up with the Word of God. That's the most important thing. Get the Word of God in your heart. If you get the Word of God, how did the Israelis or the Jews at the time survive in Babylon? They survived by teaching their children and their families the Word of God in their households. That's how they survived. Not all of them survived. Not all of them stood firm and held faithful to Yahweh, but many of them did. The disciples evangelized most of the world for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God, because they took Jesus' words, go into all the world. They went. They preached. They taught. I want to mention that I did say that there's books out there, and I want to thank Virginia for telling me about this recent book, The Church in Babylon. I was able to get that. Thank you very much. And I usually don't get the books. I usually have Audible, so I listen to them while I'm doing other things. I love that. I love Audible. It's just awesome. So if you don't have time to sit down and just read, Audible is an awesome resource to be able to continue to learn and grow, be schooled. But anyhow, in that book, The Church in Babylon, he recounts when Augustine heard about the destruction of Rome. He was very sad because he loved the people and he loved Rome. But he made this statement, which I believe we all need to take to heart. And that is, whatever men build, men destroy. And then he went on to say, therefore, let us go on with the building of God's kingdom. Amen. Society may crumble around us. Let us go on with building God's kingdom. Because that's the most important thing. Building the kingdom of God. It's here. We're a part of it as the ecclesia, as the church. We are mandated to build the kingdom of God. And we do that one soul at a time. If our nation is going to change, one soul at a time. I believe that. Stand with me. You know, we've got to continue pouring out, pouring into this world that we live in, pouring into our neighbors, pouring into people around us. There's two seas in Galilee, Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. They're vastly different. The Dead Sea, streams pour into it, and there's no outlet. So the minerals build up in the Dead Sea. And it has a lot of salt content, a lot of minerals. I don't know. People have told me that have visited there that you can just lie in the water, lay down in the water, and you'll float because there's so many minerals in that water. There's hardly any life in the Dead Sea. But the Sea of Galilee is different. It has an inlet and it also has an outlet. So not only does it take in, it also pours out. It's life-giving. You see, we have this inlet where we gather together on Sunday mornings and we worship our Lord and we are comfortable with each other and we praise God. And if we're not careful, that'll be the end of it. We'll become a dead sea. We must learn that we're living in this culture that needs the light of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. It's not comfortable for me. I'm not a comfortable person who's very comfortable with going out and witnessing for Jesus Christ. But I know it's necessary. I know it's what we're called to. Therefore, we need to take every opportunity to speak into people's lives. Sometimes all you have to do, we discussed this in our Connect group. Sometimes all we have to do is listen to people and say, "Can I pray for you?" You'll be surprised at the response. I have never had someone say, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." I guess if I ever run across that staunch atheist, he'll probably say, "No, I don't believe in that." But I haven't yet. People need prayer. They need the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you teach us to walk before you, but you not only from your word, but you speak to our hearts, Lord. We can hear you, and you have intentions for us to respond to your word, to walk before you as ambassadors and light to this world. Father God, as we go from this place, help us to always be conscious of the call that you have on our lives, the necessity to be a light in darkness. Help us to do it with humility. Help us to do it with power, knowing and trusting in you, knowing that whatever takes place, it happens because you are an awesome and mighty God. Touch us this morning, Father God, as we go from this place. Direct us and help us to just confirm your word to this world. And we just praise you for another awesome day in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.